Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood on the Eshcast.
On Tuesday, the J-pop and alternative hotspot hits your eardrums on No Borders, No Race.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, with the live issues program's post-episode recaps on live right after your favorite shows and taking all of your questions.
It's going down each week, only in the land of Ash. Nerdcore at its finest.
Hello, bastards and wenches. This is your King Baby Duck Evan Borgo. Welcome to the 2016 Boston Festival of Indie Games One-on-One Special. On this year's program, I will be sitting down with three very talented indie video game developers from Artifact 5, Mystery Egg Games, and Ransacked Studios, which have been nicely sandwiched together between two card game companies, Angry Duck Games and StarCap Games. We have titles that love to shoot it out, push people out of campus dorm rooms, making deals with the devil, and even introduce ourselves to the subconscious of a man trying to piece his life together. So let's not hesitate any longer and dive into the gaming madness. This is Boston Fig 2016, a one-on-one special.
At the Angry Duck Games booth, there is a devil of a game that is being showcased here called 13 Souls. I'm here with
Matt Regney, president of Angry Duck Games.
Mikey G, designer at Angry Duck Games.
Thank you so much for joining me here on this special Boston Festival of Indie Games podcast episode. So first and foremost, tell us a little bit about Angry Duck Games.
Angry Duck Games is six guys who love making games. We put them out with the highest possible quality we can get, which causes us a lot of good, friendly arguing, but in the end, we get a really good product out of it. So we are loving life right now.
So tell us a little bit about 13 Souls. Where did you first come up with this idea?
Oh, boy, that's a tough one. Well, 13 Souls, I actually started with a mechanic that I liked, a little bit of a press your luck mechanic that got people to be greedy, which I love to see people mess up when they're being too greedy. And then it kind of evolved into a deal with the devil, which we thought was maybe a little heavy, so we lightened it up a little bit by bringing people to the Louisiana Bayou.
Very cool. So tell us a little bit about the premise of 13 Souls. How does one play this game?
Okay, well, the premise we'll start off with is you're in the Louisiana Bayou, and you are cursed. You know, you got into some bad juju, and you're looking for some help. You talk to the Loa guides in the swamp, and they're going to get you into the bayou to collect 13 souls for me, Baron Samedi, the main character, and he'll free you from your curse. The first one to get the 13 souls wins. Everybody else, they might become one of the lost souls in the swamp themselves.
How do you play this game?
Okay. Well, everybody's got a hand of cards that are exactly the same to start with. They're called your Loa guides. Numbers 1 through 7. The high numbers are going to go first each turn, and the lowest number is going to go last. And you choose them, and they get used up. So you got to choose the right time to put them out there. But you're going to use them to decide which order you choose the cards of when you go into the bayou. The bayou is where you collect all the souls. Some of the cards in the bayou are going to offer you challenges that are more difficult and easier ones. If you screw up the challenge by drawing the wrong coin out of the bag, you're going to get hexed. And hexes are the really wacky part of the game. And if you are successful, you'll get souls. And if you're successful, you usually get a chance to go again as well and press your luck.
So for my listeners, the very first hex that I got was one where I had to play the entire game, or attempt to try to play the entire game, with both of my thumbs stuck together. So imagine trying to hold cards, or grab gems, or even grab the little coins. It's super hard, and yes, I did wind up losing at one point because somebody had to go, he split them because he had to pick up a card.
You dropped your card, and then you split your thumbs trying to get it. I saw you do it.
Yes, I did.
We're trying to make a game here that people can good-naturedly laugh at each other and really have a good time. Like, do we say that the game takes 30 minutes, but when people really get into role-playing and like really pushing their hexes to the limit, the game goes a little longer because people are having a great time, and we love to see that.
It is. I think it's probably, honestly, this is the first game I'm playing here at a Boston Festival of Indie Games, and I'm already like, this has potential to be like the top game so far already, even though this is the first one I'm only playing.
That's awesome. We love seeing different groups of players that don't know each other and their levels of viciousness towards people they never even met before. It's really great.
So I gotta ask, like, what's your most vicious hex that you put into this game?
Oh, tell them the one that's out right now.
Okay, so we had one that was in. I think I'm the only person I know who can do it, but you had to rhyme everything you said. So the card.
The problem is that Mikey, our designer in this game, is a savant when it comes to rhyming. He can drop raps like nobody's business, but nobody else on earth can. And he thought, this is easy. And we said, no.
Please keep it in. I would love to see it, because I play with a lot of rappers, and I think this would be really cool for them.
We're probably going to add it as a promo pack.
Ooh.
We're gonna have some promo hexes that or maybe actually we were if this game does really really well, we can start coming out with booster packs of different kinds of hexes, more adult hexes, more child hexes, the really hard hexes, the poet hexes, like things like that.
Ooh.
Where you have to speak comma every punctuation of your sentence period.
I'm already thinking of some really bad ones you could do for the adult pack.
Oh yeah, and the drinking pack too. Now, we're looking for people that if you play this game or hear about this game and you think of something that you'd really like to see your friends get stuck doing, write into us at angryduckgames.com. We're looking for new, different, because we're still in beta, so we're looking for new hexes to throw at people.
Now, I know you just said that you are in beta. Do you have an estimated release date that you're hoping to do for this?
Not yet, not exactly. But we are getting pretty close to the point where we're comfortable to show it out to the public a lot more. So
basically, the more excitement that we see for this game in social media and everywhere else, the sooner we think that we'll be to putting the game on some sort of crowdfunding like Kickstarter. So the more excitement that we see out there, the sooner this game will come out.
And as someone who has supported many Kickstarters, some games that have shown up here at the Boston Festival of Indie Games, I can vouch that this one definitely already looks like a winner. So for our listeners, where can they find out more information on both 13 Souls and Angry Duck Games?
At angryduckgames.com. We're very responsive. So
Facebook, Twitter. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter. We're very responsive on Facebook and Twitter. And like he said, angryduckgames.com.
Well, guys, like I said, this is the first game I played here at the Boston Festival of Indie Games, and I've got to tell you that already this is like looking like the sheer winner to me. You guys should be really proud of yourselves for creating a game like this. This is awesome, kick-ass, 13 Souls, hopefully coming soon from Angry Duck Games. Please go out and support it, tweet about it, make it a reality.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. That's great.
While that the monkey can climb, no more he shows his tail. Call no man happy till he dies, there's no milk at the bottom of the pail. God built a church, the devil built a chapel, like the thistles that are growing on the trunk of a tree.
At the Mystery Egg Games booth, we have a really cool little shooter known as Gun Gun Gun. And please introduce yourself, the man who has helped create this game.
Hi, my name's Tack. I am the lead designer and sole programmer of Gun Gun Gun. I worked in conjunction with Kat Whitaker from Britain, who made all the art for the game.
Really cool. So tell us a little bit about the inspiration behind Gun Gun Gun.
Okay, so the inspiration of the game mostly came from games like Metal Slug and a lot of small indie titles like the Vlombeer games.
Mm.
I wanted to create like a small, fun little package that you could just sit down and play for like a couple minutes and just drop it if you need to.
Or in some cases, those couple minutes can turn into endless hours, because this is an endless shooter.
Yep. There is no end to it. It's a high score-based game, so you just play as much as you want and try to get beat your old score if you want to. I'm planning on having like high score logs and like lifetime stat logs too at some point. So
really cool. So tell us a little bit about some of the weaponry that you're going to be able to use in this game.
We have 8 unique weapons implemented. They're all like functionally similar to the way their real-life counterparts are. So like the pistol is a bit weaker than the FAL, but it fires faster. so on and so forth. And I had a lot of detail put into like all the minutiae of the guns, even though it's pixel art. So the reload animations are mechanically the same as they are in real life. I actually Skyped the artist and went through all the mechanical body motions.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
So you really went into detail, that is, even though it's a retro 8-bit looking video game, you wanted to go into the detail of how a gun actually fires.
Yep, I have an affinity for like small arms and stuff, so I wanted to add a bit of that element to the game. I think it adds a lot to it.
Really nice. Now, besides the weaponry, what sort of villains or bad guys are going to be popping up in this sort of game? Because I notice you have, you know, some regular peeps, but then you also have some that seem to be a lot tougher than the others.
Okay, so the premise of the game is that you are a girl that has stolen guns and gold from a group of bandits. So that's why a bunch of bandits are coming after you on the train. But you also have a bounty on your head, and that's why SWAT guys are dropping from the sky trying to beat you with billy clubs.
Wow. Because we're watching the video right now, we see people riding on horses, we see people just jumping and have all this heavy armor. Because it's not just like one shoot, one kill sort of thing. You gotta shoot these people until they're down on the ground.
Yep, the SWAT guys are extremely tough. They soak up 50 damage. In relation to all the other enemies, they can only soak up about 5.
Oh, okay. And I take it like one shot equals one damage when it gets hit, of course.
Yeah, 1 or 2 damage per gun, basically.
All right. So you are shooting for green light right now. So are you planning just to have it just on PC, or are you planning on hoping to expand it to actual consoles?
Right now, it's based out of Game Makers, so I can't do much until they have console exporters. So it'll be PC only, and hopefully Mac and Linux.
Oh.
And we'll be giving out for free on multiple sites.
Oh, that's terrific, dude. That's awesome. Now, one question I wanted to ask is how you actually met this artist from Britain.
Oh, we went to the same school together. So we worked on a couple projects, and we decided to just partner up and just do some various projects. This is the fruits of one of those partnerships.
That's awesome. So, for those that are listening into this episode, tell them why they should play Gun 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 when it comes out.
Gun 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 is an awesome game with a guy for a lot of gun detail, and if you like short action games that feel really well when you play them, I would recommend you at least give it a try.
Mm. And that is Gun 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 from Mystery Egg Games, shooting hopefully for green light, so hopefully by the time you hear this, or it won't be probably not automatically, but hopefully somewhere down the line you'll see it on green light, and hopefully it'll get passed into green light.
Thank you very much.
When the gun goes bang, 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 who's gonna know the one? No, nobody knows. When the gun goes bang, 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 who's gonna know the one? No, nobody knows.
Yeah, we're taking it back to 94 when niggas was still in the finest zone. Cracked and hit and fucked.
We are coming to you from the Ransack Studios booth at the Boston Festival of Indie Games, and I am here with Michael, who is showing off their game, Glitch's Trip. So welcome to One-on-One. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
I'm doing very well as well. So let me ask you about Ransack Studios. What is it? How did it come to fruition?
All right. Ransack Studios is a team of 3 different developers. We have an engineer, an artist, and a designer and producer. We came together kind of based on a few of us went to college together, and then through indie, just industry jobs, a few of us met, and then as we moved on to different jobs, we kept in touch because we always like to be in a side project, learn new skills, and you know, Glitch's Trip is a way for us to test the waters on some things that we would love to do at our, you know, day jobs, but we can't, so we do it at night, you know.
So how would you describe your game, Glitch's Trip?
Glitch's Trip is a twin-stick shooter platformer. We try to take elements of games like Geometry Wars visuals as well as the twin-stick shooter aspect of it. We made a game called Zombie Scrapper for mobile. It's on iOS and Android if you want to check that out. It's free to play, but we like the twin-stick concept. We also, none of us have ever made a platformer game in the world, and we came from the Marios and the Sonic the Hedgehogs and all those types of games.
Yeah.
So we took that, and we wanted to pretty much make a bullet hell meets a hard platformer, like Super Meat Boy, or I like it, it's Bloody Trapland. It's a game that's just brutal, so we like,
right,
you know, we wanted to try to make another brutal game, and then we wanted to put a cute art style to it.
Yeah. cute but brutally adorable. He kind of reminds me a little bit of Kirby, but, you know, without the sucky powers, of course.
Yes. So a lot of people came up to us, too. They're like, it's kind of Kirby on an acid trip a little bit.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good
I was like, oh, that's a good marketing point when the little kids aren't around. But, yeah, I mean, honestly, one of the things that I wanted to, as a designer coming into this, was like, I want to make a Kirby platformer. Like, that's, I just know it's what I kept saying. So we kind of went with really cool, really bright, vibrant colors, and, you know, the space theme helps. It's not really super spacey, but it was giving us a good excuse to, like, you know, float around, use gravity. You know, like, there's a couple mechanics in the game that use gravity and just pretty particle effects, you know. I kind of see the Kirby side to it. This Boston Fig helps a lot with this stuff because
Right. Now
I'm going to go home and think more about Kirby. I'll probably play a couple Kirby games. Some people said Metroid because of the weapons.
It's kind of like... That's actually another good analogy right there. It's like if Kirby sucked up Samus, and boom, there's Glitch.
Yeah, they had a little baby, a little alien baby. The idea behind Glitch, too, is we come from games where it's like Zelda, where like Link didn't talk or Mario didn't talk at the time. And, you know, so we're none of us are screenwriters or writers in games or anything. So we like gameplay. So we like a little silent dude that has little googly eyes and a, you know, kick-ass gun and, you know, kind of does his thing, you know?
Right. I mean, you could probably turn them into a plushie one day.
That's exactly. So that's when I was first talking about it, like, I was like, I want a gooey little alien. And everyone's like, well, why? And I'm like, because plushies, you know? I was like, Star Wars wasn't made overnight with, you know, just the films. It was the merchandise. So,
right.
I mean, it just as indie devs, we're trying to find any way that, like, if we get a hold of something and we can, you know, we might as well, you know?
Absolutely. So tell us, I know you were saying about you don't really want to focus on the story, but what can you tell us about why Glitch is in this sort of world?
Okay, so currently he's on a grand adventure, and the loose story that we kind of have going right now is he is part of, you know, this unknown race, and to make it to, like, kind of his mothership or, like, to beyond of where he is, he has to go through these trials and terrors of, like, what's going on, you know? So we have him going through, like, a cute mystic cave. Then we have him kind of going through a couple different environments. Our two other worlds are called Sky Cavern and Space Rave. Mm-hmm. So things are going to get weird. They're not going to just be a standard, you know, dungeon crawler where he's finding his way through something and he's going to find some deep secret. Things are going to get weird. He's going to find himself in weird worlds and weird just... features. We're going to try to make things as weird as possible. And where it goes, I don't want to give it away because our last world's kind of a secret until you know, we get through our whole, like, you know, Steam Greenlight process, and we want to get some feedback from the players to see if they like where we're going to head things. And I have kind of a secret ending, you know, that I got to tell him about still, you know.
Now, you just mentioned you are on Project Steamlight right now.
Correct.
You're trying to get the upvotes here. So... you're planning this for PC, Mac, and Linux right now, or...?
Yes, that is correct. I think that's where we're going to stay right now, just because it's, you know, part-time gigs right now, so I think we'll focus on if people will really like it, and the community's really well done on Steam for us. I think we might start going to maybe Xbox. I don't know anything about anything PlayStation, but, I mean, that's something for... I'll let the engineers do that, because they're going to be porting it, you know?
Yeah.
But... I mean, sky's the limit, you know? It's depending on how much stuff catches on.
And I guess my final question is, for those that are listening to this episode, why should they go into Glitch's ship? Why should they go to the Steamlight and upvote it?
All right, so in my personal opinion, I know a lot of people have done Twin Stick Shooters. I've seen Twin Stick Shooter platforms. Ours ties in a lot of, like, the brutal aspects of some of these tougher games like Super Meat Boy. It also is kind of lighthearted, and it's visual appealing. Like, it's going to be really trippy. So if you're looking for a really trippy game, we're working on our sound. We're going to try to have way really cool sound going involved in it. So if you're just looking for a really pretty game that's going to be hard to beat but fun to play, you should come check us out.
And that is Glitch Trip, which is currently on Project Steamlight. Hopefully it'll be out sometime very soon. Michael, thank you so much for joining me here on 101. Where can more people find information on Glitch's Trip?
Thank you. You can find us on ransackstudio.com. That's you can see our other games as well as this game and the Screenlight page. Then we have for Twitter and Facebook as Google Play. It's all Ransack Studios. You can find us there on all those handles.
All right, that sounds very fantastic. Mike, thank you once again. And hope everything goes well for you here at Boston Festival of Indie Games.
Thank you very much.
music, and visuals. That's what Artifact 5 is showcasing with their title, Anamorphine. And I'm here with Samantha Cook, who's representing the company. Welcome to One-on-One. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you so much.
So tell us a little bit about Artifact 5.
Artifact 5 is a studio based out of Montreal. Mm-hmm. It's about 4 or 5 people full time. We've got another couple of contractors, and we've been working on Anamorphine for just over a year.
Now, I did notice that you had that whole Canada gaming sort of thing that you were showcasing before the game actually starts. I'm a big supporter of the Canadian gaming scene. I've been noticing it's been rising pretty well.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. The gaming scene in Canada is fantastic, in part because of the Canada Media Fund, which helps fund video game projects that are innovative. Mm-hmm. And that's where we got the vast majority of our funding. So there's a huge indie scene in Montreal, in Toronto, and across Canada because of that.
Absolutely. And there's a game that just came out this past year that was supported by it. That was a Kickstarter called Loud on Planet X, which is where I first heard about the little stuff that they were doing there.
Oh, cool. I haven't heard of that one. But there's a ton of great projects funded by them, including potentially Compulsion Lab. Labs is We Happy Few that just came out. That was funded by them too. Kit Fox's Moon Hunters, a whole bunch of great games.
All right, so tell us a little bit about Anamorphine.
Well, Anamorphine is a first-person surreal exploration game. Mm-hmm. It's about a man who's gone through a traumatic experience, but he's in denial about it. So you're going back through his memories to try to figure out what happened to him. And it's primarily about the relationship between him and his wife and her depression.
Ooh. So yeah, because when we first start out the game, like, we're walking around this sort of area, but then we're suddenly transported by a special cello symbol to his apartment, and you see everything, like, all trashed up, and you start to wonder, okay, what's going on around here? So tell us a little bit about, I know you talked a little bit about the backstory already, but what can we expect from the overall arc of what this character is going through?
Well, I don't want to give too much away, because it's a narrative game. But it's about him trying to figure out, you know, or I guess it's more about you as a player trying to see what happened to him. Like, and like what you're saying, you know, you were just in this apartment, it looks a little messy, like, what's going on? That's exactly how we want you to feel. Mm-hmm. So as you go through the game, you're going through the arc of the relationship between him and his wife, Elena. So, you know, like the happy times, they're moving in together, she's a concert cellist, you're seeing that happen, but then, you know, something bad happens, and she can't play the cello anymore. That's kind of the twist, so I'm not going to say much more than that, but, you know, it's about, you know, how do you support a loved one going through a difficult time? How do you try to reconcile that, you know, things you could or might have been able to do better? So the game for the player is really about trying to come to terms with that happened or not.
So my question is, because I've noticed, like, there's the whole beauty aspect of this game, and I love the visual style of it, does it correlate with the mood that the game is going to be showcasing? Like, for example, like the beauty of the music, when you walk into the cello, everything is so beautiful. But then right when the demo ends, you walk through, like, what looks like a bottle scene. So am I to imagine that the setting for those areas isn't going to look as pretty as those?
Well, it's still pretty, but it's a little different. You see, the bottle represents escape. Because the choice you have as the player is to push forward and really try to, like, confront what happened or to run away from it. And sometimes it's easier in life to run away from your troubles than to face them. And so, you know, as a player, as a character, you can run away from what's happening in front of you through, like, alcohol, for example, and you'll end up somewhere where the character's trying to just, like, feel free of his burdens. But those spaces never stay that happy for long, and the visuals will definitely reflect that. Like, it starts out pretty, but then it definitely gets a lot darker.
And with the alcohol aspect, it reminds me a little bit of a game that came out a couple years ago called Popo and Yo, where it was a kid that was trying to deal with his alcoholic father, and just going back and forth between the real, well, not so much the real world and stuff, but the metaphor of his father becoming a drunken monster and the beast and such. So I really like that aspect of Anamorphine.
Thanks. Yeah, Minority, who made Papa and Yo, are up the road from us. We know a lot of their developers. So
really?
Like, yeah, they're another Canadian studio right out of Montreal. So they do really interesting games. Like Time Machine that just came out was fantastic, a good VR game. But yeah, they also try to approach, like, themes that are a bit more, like, personal. Like, I know that Papa and Yo is a reflection of, I think, Vander's childhood. He's, like, the founder of the studio, or one of them. Yeah, and for us, this game isn't autobiographical, but we think that it reflects a lot of experiences that people, you know, everywhere have. You know, I think it's 20% of all Canadians will experience like a mental health issue in their lifetime, including depression or anxiety. And we think it's really important for games to reflect life, and that's what we're trying to do.
Absolutely. Now, what can you tell us about the music that you've composed there? Like, who's playing the cello in this game?
Well, we have an amazing sound designer and composer on the team, Beatrix Mersch. She's fantastic, and she's composed everything that you hear in the game, and she's hired, you know, cello. I think our cellist is actually the sister of a game dev friend of ours, so, like, you know, it's kind of keeping it all in the family, in the game developer family. But yeah, we found, you know, a cellist, violinist, you know, people to, a singer to come, you know, do some of the background humming that you hear. Because there's no text or voiceover in our game. There's not even an action button. So it's so important that the music can convey emotions and sort of explain what you're seeing around you.
Yeah, and you know, I'm actually a big fan of these sorts of games. I know a lot of people like to call them walking simulators. I prefer the phrase story finder. This is a game where you have to search for the story that's happening.
I've never heard that. Story finder, I like it. Yeah, walking simulator, I think it gets a bad rap. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I do think that it's, you know, when you look at a game like Myst, that was like a mystery puzzle game. And in a sense, a lot of the games that are called walking simulators are just like that. We've just decided to give them a new name. So, you know, in a sense, they're all adventure games, but, you know, they're different kinds of adventures than fantasy sci-fi adventures. They're like real life adventures.
Absolutely. Now, do you have a set release date for Anamorphine? Are you still deep into production of it?
Oh, we are so deep in production. We'd like to release in early 2017, and we'll be releasing for PC. We want to also release for VR, including Oculus Rift and Vive, and on Xbox.
And I was just about to ask you about VR, too, because I can imagine this being a fantastic game to play in either Oculus or Vive. Samantha, thank you so much for joining me here on One-on-One. Anamorphine is hopefully coming soon in 2017. From Artifact 5. It's beautiful. I was actually just getting goosebumps from the music alone.
I will tell Beatrix that. She will be thrilled. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Some crazy shit going on over at the StarCap Games booth with a game called Everybody Get the Fuck Out. Don't worry, this is an uncut podcast show, so I can say that. And I'm here with Rowan, who is StarCap Games. So thank you for joining me here on One-on-One. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
So tell us a little bit about StarCap Games.
So StarCap Games is my tabletop game studio. I make card games that just so happen to be party-based for party people and about party things.
Yeah. Now, before we jump into the one that we're going to be talking about, the one that I got to play, there's another one that you are showing off right now, a special kind of drinking game, as I notice.
Yep, so I have Zippy Drunks at my table, which sadly I cannot present at a family-friendly event, but I can have the cards out, so that's what I've done.
So how does one play Zippy Drunks?
So Zippy Drunks is a 52-card deck of drinking games. Each card has its own miniature game on it that you can pass or fail. If you pass, you do something. If you fail, you do something. It's usually drinking-related.
Now my question, now you can't show it here, but have you showed this at other conventions that something like this would be allowed at?
So there's an event called Game Over in Boston that actually takes place at a bar, so I'm able to show this game there. People buy drinks at the bar and then come over to play.
That is awesome. Now, let us jump into the one that you are showing off right now, Everybody Get the Fuck Out, which I can, like, again, uncut podcast show, I can totally say that. And you were telling me the story of how this game came to be, and I want the listeners to hear about this story.
All right, so back when I was a sophomore in college, which for reference was several years ago at this point, I, of course, didn't know how to handle my liquor, didn't know how to plan a party, but I wanted to throw a house party. So I threw a house party. There were people everywhere. It was a Friday night. Like, none of us knew how to handle our booze. People were collapsing everywhere. But unfortunately, my roommate had not told me she had a final the next day that she was studying for. So she was trying to sit at her desk, type at her computer, studying material science, while everyone's just getting completely slammed all around her. Finally, she just couldn't take it anymore. She slammed her hands down, stood up, and just screamed, "Now everyone get the fuck out!" And we all run the hell out of there. We don't want to be anywhere near her. But as we're running away, I'm trying to tell my friends, "Guys, I had an idea for a drinking game. it's a game. I can do this. And they're like, you are so drunk. Please stop talking. And I just decided later, you know what? I'm going to make this game. Like, it's going to be a thing. So I made it a thing.
So tell us how players play this game of Everybody Get the Fuck Out.
So in Everyone Get the Fuck Out, you're a college student trying to study for a really big final, but there's a dorm hall party happening where you live. So in order to get everyone out of your room, you have to put fun party item cards into their rooms, into other players' rooms, so that your party is the nerdiest and the least fun, so everyone leaves you alone and goes to bother the other players.
Now, tell us a little bit about, like, all the different cards, because you have the items, you have the actions, and you have, what is it, the instant actions.
Yes. So there's three types of cards in the games. There's actions, which just do something and then go into the discard pile. Instant actions, you can play at any time because playing off turn is fun and exciting. And then there's the items. You put them in front of people, and they have a fun rating from 1 to 5. If you have the most fun in your room, you're the party animal, and people will start going into your room each turn. But if you're the nerd, people start leaving your room each turn because you have the least fun, and it's just boring.
When I was playing this game, there were some really interesting cards. You had the pet rock. I don't know how a pet rock can start a party, though.
It can. I mean, if the other options are literally nothing, you can have a party with a pet rock.
I think my favorite is you had, like, a dinosaur that shows up at your party with, like, balloons or something.
Yeah, there's the dinosaur, and he has a little birthday hat on. He's ready to party. And, I mean, would you not go to a party with a dinosaur? There's a reason he's fun five.
Yeah. Okay, so what is, like, the craziest one that you have for an item?
The craziest one? The dinosaur's pretty up there. I'm going to talk a little quieter because there's children around, but there's a set of cards that I didn't have in the deck when I was showing it to you. There's themes for each set of item cards from 1 to 5.
Ah.
So there's, like, the animal cards, there's the drinking cards, there's also the sex cards.
Oh!
So the favorite card of the game, yeah. It's only fun one, but everyone loves it. It's the lone dildo. So, and people will sabotage their ability to win the game to have this card in their room.
Please tell me that's in the deck that I just bought.
It is in the deck that you bought, yes. So you'll be able to see the sex-themed cards in your own comic.
All right, now I'm really looking forward to playing this game at home and introducing my friends to this. Because, yes, I actually bought this game immediately after... That's how good this game was. I bought it automatically after we'd done playing it.
Yes, thank you for that also. It makes me happy when people love my game enough to just immediately get it.
All right, so my final question, because it's available in stores right now, correct?
Yes, you can buy it on Amazon right now. It's about to run out of copies, though. I'm not lying about that, like I'm actually running out. So I need to buy more copies soon. But.
All right, so I guess my final question is, why should people buy Now Everybody Get the Fuck Out?
So if you want to screw your friends over, it's a really good game for that. It kind of falls under the you might lose your friends area with how people get about it. And it's also just hilarious.
Yeah.
So I think that it's a good idea to grab for anyone who either loves parties or was the nerd always in college they can pretend to be in their college days.
All right, Rowan. Thank you so much for joining me here on One-on-One. Now Everybody Get the Fuck Out and Zippy Drunks, now available from StarCap Games on Amazon. And is it available any place else, or is it just Amazon?
It was in stores, then they sold out, so...
Oh, that's a good sign.
It is a very good sign. I'm going to be putting them back later, but I can't say where yet because I need the copies first.
Rowan, thank you so much, and best luck with the rest of the Boston Festival of Indie Games.
Thank you very much. Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you, too.